Welcome back. The Minister of Finance, Ken Oforiatta, will tomorrow present to Parliament the budget statement and economic policy of the government. The 2017 budget, dubbed as Asempa budget, was President Akufo-Addo's first budget, and it outlined a number of initiatives. Behind the News tonight examines the 2017 budget, and we look forward to see what should be expected in the 2018 budget. We have been joined on the line by Deputy Minister responsible for information, a Member of Parliament for Fuasi UAB, Kojo Opong Nkrumah. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening, God. How are you doing?
Very well, sir. For government, what were the ups and downs of the 2017 budget?
Well, so tomorrow, the Honourable Finance Minister will appear before the nation's representatives. And while he's there, he'll be answering the question you're asking me tonight. He will give an update on the 2017 budget performance, starting from the macro stability which we sought to achieve, and then speaking to specific policy initiatives and their status of implementation as at now.
Last year, we had the budget called Asempa. This year, what should we expect?
This year, we should expect a budget that focuses heavily on jobs and heavily on investment in growth-driving initiatives.
Before the budget could be presented, the minority alleged that there will be new taxes, particularly mobile money transaction. Is this something that we should be expecting?
In fact, it is interesting to note that the minority has hinged their credibility, and this morning, minority spokesperson on finance, the Honorable Atuforsen, openly said on public radio that it is because they understand the economy very well that they can predict that we are going to introduce a mobile money tax. It is because they understand the economy very well that they can predict that growth in the non-oil sector will not go beyond 4% for the year. It is because they have an understanding of the economy that they can predict that debt-to-GDP ratio will end up around 76.3%. Those are their predictions. And they hinge it on the fact that they understand the economy. And so tomorrow, when by the time the finance minister is done, if these predictions do not turn out, then it will be fair for all of us to now come to the conclusion that it is official that they do not have an understanding of the Ghanaian economy. Those were his words, not mine.
Right. I'm sure after the budget, we'll get back to you to get details. But I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight.
Thank you, George.
Kojo Opong Nkrumah is Deputy Minister for Information. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana.
Ghana needs your taxes. Do you pay your taxes? We drive on deplorable roads. Our children attend poorly resource schools, and we visit hospitals in bad states. Let's pay our taxes. No matter how small our income, every little tax helps. We always ask, what does government do with these taxes? Government depends on these taxes to bring development to us and to build our nation. So, I ask, do you pay your taxes? I am asking you, do you pay your taxes? It's your civic duty. It is the law. Our taxes, our future. This advert is brought to you by the Ghana Revenue Authority, National Commission for Civic Education, with support from the UK Aid and GIZ.
Welcome back. It's Behind the News live on Radio Ghana. Now, if we can all recall, the 2017 budget made provision for a number of interventions in the agricultural sector, which the government said was the largest sector that could employ lots of Ghanaians. The one dam, one village policy was there, the planting for food and jobs, fertilizer subsidy, and many, many others. So how do farmers see all these policies in 2017, and what do they expect? We have on the line Charles Nyaba. He's the programs manager, Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News. Well, for peasant farmers, how will you rate the implementation of policies that government outlined in the 2017 budget for the sector? Hello, Charles. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Apologies for that. We shall try and re-establish contact with Charles. He is the programs manager of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. Welcome back. Charles, we lost you on the line. I was asking from the farmer's point of view, how will you rate the implementation of the policies that government outlined in the 2017 budget for the agricultural sector?
Thank you, George, and good evening to your listeners. I was just going to correct a statement that you made earlier that in 2017, there were a number of areas that the budget was allocated to. If you look at the total budget allocated for 2017 budget for agriculture sector, we have 450.33 million. And then out of this, 421.52 million was used for fertilizer subsidy program. So which means about 93.6% of the budget allocated for the budget for agriculture sector went into fertilizer subsidy program. So all other areas, ranging from poultry, fisheries, mechanization, irrigation, there was no budget in the 2017 budget in these areas. Now, if you talk of planting for food and jobs, which came later on, we have a lot of money that was estimated to be invested in that area. So most of those monies that were mentioned by the minister were all there. As we speak, there is no single peso of money that has paid those who supply seed under the planting for food and jobs, and those who supply fertilizer under the planting for food and jobs. They were all there. So the reason why all the other sectors were suffering, when we had a problem with the four MOM, extension offices and stuff like that, they couldn't perform their duties because our focus was only on fertilizer subsidy program. Now, in going forward, what we expect in 2018 is that if you look at the agriculture sector, there are so many things that are happening. And we shouldn't focus only on fertilizer. Fertilizer is just only one component. And if you continue to put all our resources in fertilizer, then we are not going to make much progress. So we are looking at government making allocations for mechanization to help farmers to prepare their lands and also to harvest what has been produced. We also look to see government putting in contingency funds to cater for outbreak of diseases like the four MOM, to empower our research institutions to continue to investigate and fight some of these problems when they occur. We are also looking at a situation where government will also put some resources to support the fishery sector because the focus has been so much on the crops, leaving all the other areas to suffer. So these are our initial expectations for the 2018 budget.
There's this issue of Fulani herdsmen. Would you expect the budget to touch on it?
Yeah, I think it should have been the first thing that I mentioned. You know, government constituted a committee, 17-member committee, to investigate and then come up with a solution to the issue between the Fulani herdsmen and the farmers. I have spoken to them, and since that committee was constituted, is given to them to do their work. So they are just there, they are not able to operate, and the Fulani herdsmen continue to terrorize farmers. So we expect that in the budget, government will make provision for this committee to be able to do their work. We have also identified some fodder banks in our plant plains. They are deteriorated, they are just a mess. So we expect that in the budget there will be allocation for those fodder banks so that we will be able to move all the Fulani people to that area. If they live in their own places and then the farmers are also in a different places, we are sure the problems will not be as we are experiencing now.
Charles, you did indicate that the 2017 budget, over 90% of allocation went into the fertilizer subsector. How will you assess the output there?
In fact, I must admit that for fertilizer, we had more fertilizer in the field than is needed, to the extent that the surpluses is being smuggled outside the country. But as weather, fertilizer availability will necessarily translate into increase in yield, it's a different story. Because research was conducted to find out the effect of fertilizer by FAO, and it has observed that in Sub-Saharan Africa, including Ghana, fertilizer subsidy programs have not led to increase in yields. This is simply because the fertilizer, the target people to benefit from the fertilizer normally end up not getting it, even with the subsidy. So, to me, I think that if we continue with the fertilizer subsidy program, then we expect to see some changes, some reforms that will make it possible for farmers to actually benefit from these inputs and apply them in the appropriate way that it will lead to increase in yields. The current state is like that every farmer knows that I'll go and buy NPK. And there are instances where they are supposed to apply the fertilizer 2 weeks after plant. They apply the fertilizer when the plant is already ready for harvesting. So the plant doesn't really make good use of it. So for now, I'm not able to tell you whether the fertilizer subsidy has led to increase in yields because farmers are still harvesting and haven't done any test. Able to be that bigger.
In the past, farmers complain of post-harvest losses as a major problem, and with fertilizer and other policies of government, the 2017 budget, all things being equal, yield is expected to increase. Are there measures on the ground to prevent possible post-harvest losses?
On that, I think we attempted to address losses. If you look at harvest losses, we are looking at losses from harvesting, losses from transport, losses from...
Hello, food. Charles, can you reposition yourself for us? The line is not too clear.
Hello?
Yeah, go on, let me see.
Yeah, I'm saying that we are only focusing on addressing post-harvest losses from only one component. Post-harvest losses are cutting across the food supply chain. From harvesting, from drying, from transport, from marketing. So what government is doing is to provide component of the marketing where National Food Buffer Store Company is buying the surplus state that the farmers have produced to store in the market in the event of food shortage. So the issue of harvest has not been addressed. I have spoken to a number of rice who are suffering. They are not getting from harvest and starting to harvest their rice.
Okay.
I've spoken to maize farmers who not also get tressers and other things to harvest their maize. We still have bad boost. We still have a lot of problems within the post-harvest value chain that have not been addressed. So I'm thinking that as we are thinking about increased production, we should also think of how we reduce the losses. Because it doesn't really make sense if you produce enough and at the end of the day you have about 30% of what you produce going wasted.
All right, Charles, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful.
Thank you, John.
Charles Nyaba is the program's manager of the Peasant Farmers Association of Ghana. It's Behind the News. We are live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is a public relations officer of the Concerned Drivers Union, David Agbodo. Good evening, sir, and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir, and thank you very much.
Good
evening to all the listeners.
For drivers, what would you say was the impact of the 2017 budget on your business?
Yes, it's a very big question that you have asked. But what I will say, or what we will say, is we have concentrated the government enough to come out with a good policy for drivers this time around. Because with our uptake, as Concerned Drivers Association of Ghana, we issued some press release about 3-4 months ago concerning the high increment of fuel, the high increment of spare parts and other things that they take into driving. We have tell government enough that this budget, they will factor so many things into it.
But when you say spare parts, 2017 budget, government removed a lot of taxes there. So import or importation of these parts are supposed to come at a very cheaper price compared to the past. So what do you mean when you say high prices of spare parts?
Yeah, thank you very much. I think you heard yesterday the press release that the Spare Parts Dealers Association came out with yesterday. You see, it's more higher than when the tax were on it. Now, these days of our age, the spare parts are more higher than when it was that they were paying tax on it. They came out yesterday clearly indicating that the paperless even have cost them more in terms of clearance and other things. That was their side. And it's affecting us a lot because formerly, as I keep saying, formerly we were buying printer bus engines, right, at 800 and 900. But now, I'm conversant with the old currency than the new one. So
okay.
Let's go this way.
Good day.
Yeah, 90 million old price. It was 90 million and then 80 million printer bus engine. But now it's 110. That's the home use. The home use. Yeah, we, this short road drivers, and we use home use parts more than the brand new, because the brand new, we can't find it here, except Gamos and then one of these shops that we can get it from. But we are into printer more than all. So you see, the price at the market is very, very high compared to what they said, that they have reduced taxes on spare parts and other things. It's not relevant to what we are seeing in the market.
But do you get a feeling that it is the quote-unquote the Aboso kind guys who are making unnecessary profit out of this business, or you just feel that the taxes didn't make impact? I mean, the reduction.
The reduction doesn't make impact. You know, the Aboso kind guys, and we are friends because it's from there that we buy parts. So even at times they do credits with their parts. So we know it is not their doing. The tax that they have taken off haven't made any impact at all.
So will you suggest that they bring back the tax?
You know,
if the tax was there and you were buying a Sprinter engine between 8,000 and 9,000, the tax is out and you are buying between 100 and then 110,000. Yeah. That's quite...
Yes. You know, that one, as I said, it is their business. And it is because the tax was... They came out with a press release yesterday. Yeah, I think it was yesterday or 3 days ago, that the paperless have even cost them more. So it is left with the government to come out with a very good and nice plan or suggestion that, you know, in this age that we are stakeholders. When government wants to come out with this thing, me, my little knowledge that will tell me that you should consult us all so that we also add our view into it. So if you are coming out with something, it will be solid and concrete. But here lies the case. We are not. We were not invited. We were, no sensitization was made in terms of transport. Because as I'm talking to you, if you don't know, Thursday or Friday, fuel will be increased from 5 to 10%. Fuel price will be increased from 5 to 10%.
Who told you that?
From BDC, COPEC, and all those sectors. When you can just cross check from there. COPEC, the executive secretary is called Duncan Amwa.
All right. We talk to him a lot. But I want to thank you very much for your time. Let's see what happens tomorrow. We certainly may have to come back to you. Thank you very much for your time on our show tonight.
Thank you, too. Thank you very much.
David Agbodo is the public relations officer of the Concerned Drivers Association of Ghana. It's behind the news. We are live on Radio Ghana. Also joining us on the line is the head of the Department of Finance of the University of Ghana Business School, Professor Godfred Bokwin. Good evening, Prof, and welcome to Behind the News.
Yes, good evening, and good evening to your cherished listeners.
Thanks, Prof, for your time. What will you say were the high points and low points in the 2017 budget?
I think that the 2017 budget was a difficult one. It was a difficult year. I'm saying it's a difficult year because of its historical context. Every competitive election we have had in this country has come along with election excesses, physical indiscipline. So what we have seen since 1992 is that the budget immediately after those major elections have been austerity budgets. Budget to correct the imbalances that were created as a result of the way we conduct our elections, which is highly commercialized and monetized. So the excessive injection of liquidity into the economy, the relaxation of monetary policy or expansionary monetary policy, together with the fiscal expansionary policy, doesn't augur well for the economy. We saw something similar in 2000, something similar in 2008, and then something similar in 2012, and then 2016. So the 2017 budget, in principle, is not different from what we have seen in the time past, which has been predicated on fiscal consolidation, austerity, expenditure cuts, revenue enhancement measures, and all of that. I don't know how soon we'll get out of that. But you will also see that, though with that in mind, the 2017 budget sought to give hope to the private sector in terms of certain relief taxes. And I do agree that the extent to which these reliefs have been passed on or translated to lower prices for the ultimate consumer needs to be investigated. And I think that all over the world, when incentives are injected, you want to be able to go back and see how they have, whether they have gotten to the intended beneficiaries. Okay, and it has more to do with regulation, efficiency, and all of that. I think these are issues that we have to be able to address. We have seen some abolishment of nuisance taxes, like VAT on financial services, VAT in the airline industry, VAT on sale of real estate. All those ones have been abolished. We have also seen reduction in some taxes that were meant to cushion market participants and the private sector. I don't think that it was that significant, but of course, given the revenue constraints, that will be deemed to be something of a relief to some extent. But below that, when you look at government's own revenue projection for 2017, they were overly ambitious. And consistent with the realities on the ground, they failed to achieve the revenue target. Certainly, that will have implication for various programs and promises that government made and may also translate to additional borrowing. But of course, we have seen government desire to balance that by pursuing expenditure restraint. So government has exhibited some expenditure discipline in the last 10 months. Of course, we've also seen that the fiscal deficit, which has implications for borrowing and also expenditure prioritization, we've seen the fiscal deficit narrowing from as high as 9.8% in 2016 to about 6.3% or 6.5%. That is good. That will tell you that government borrowing requirement is also contracting to some extent. It tells you that the extent to which our public debt will climb is also moderating. So, but of course, we have seen that the debt to GDP ratio has gone up, largely also because government revenue envelope has underperformed and there are demands that government ought to meet. So these are issues. But when you look at it from the macro perspective, you get the impression that the economy at the macro level is beginning to respond to the government policies and then the overall economic strategy that the government has adopted, it hasn't gotten to the stage where it will translate to the micro level and to our pockets. We are not there yet. The preoccupation of government so far has just been to stabilize the economy, macroeconomic stability. And like I said earlier, you'll find that it's the same thing that we do after every major election. But we do know that macroeconomic stability in itself is not an end in itself. It's only a means to an end. We need to move beyond macroeconomic stability and then begin to talk about transformation. And then we also have to look at the drivers of that transformation in agriculture, industry, and all of that. So even though government talked about one district, one factory, many of those special programs, I think that we haven't seen them being implemented yet. Probably they have used 2017 for feasibility analysis and all of that. And for that reason, we expect that 2018 will be action year.
Okay. But Prof, the government has admitted that the 2017 budget will be to lay the foundation of the economy for 2018 to take off. And like you admitted, if there have been some signs of gains at a micro level, will it be enough to have the consolidation taking place in 2018? So we get some reflection at the macro level?
No, it's not enough. It's not enough. The challenges are enormous. I want to believe that going forward, we have to be moderate. And I think that government will have to be moderate with their own promises in the budget. Because you see, the resilience of our economy is very weak. Even the little gains that we have made, I mean, with the slightest shock to our economy, either from internal or external, we are very vulnerable. We are very, very vulnerable. The slightest development in commodity prices is such that the country comes crashing. So we have to be moderate. But I'm also hopeful to the extent that given the actions that government has taken in the last couple of months, gives some hope that the economy is in the right direction. We haven't seen certain indicators responding positively the way we expect. But we can understand to some extent. For instance, when we look at our debt to GDP, our debt to GDP today is gone up to some extent. And more so when you add the energy bond, with which, of course, government is trying to treat it, or which government is treating as a corporate bond rather than a sovereign bond, that would have increased our debt to GDP ratio significantly. But the reason is that this is a legacy debt that has to be dealt with in one way or the other. And then again, so with that intervention together with the planting for food and jobs and all of that, my understanding is that the pickup should be slightly higher than we have seen in 2017. If you want to look at this carefully, if you look at our performance in 2016, our GDP growth was one of the lowest in the last two decades, at 3.2%. But we are getting the signal that GDP would increase this year, and we can build on that going forward in 2018 and beyond. But whilst I acknowledge that we have made some progress in that line, I think what we have to be concerned about is not just about GDP growth, which has been jobless to some extent so far, but to talk about inclusive growth, growth that would also create jobs. What we have seen in the last couple of years is a GDP growth that is driven by hydrocarbon production, what we call oil and gas. But that sector is not labor intensive. So when your economy does well, largely because of oil and gas, then you realize that it's not growth that is broad-based. It's not growth that aids effective redistribution of income. And therefore, I would be expecting to see how government would oil the vehicle for the planting for food and jobs, and then also how we give real meaning, practical meaning, to industrialization and explore the value chain between agriculture and linking that to industry, agribusiness, and then add value to our primary product. Then we will be able to give employment to our own people. That is the only way we will say that we have done well. And then, of course, also, as a country, we have to be able to develop tracking tools for employment generation So for instance, if government says that they are creating jobs, how do we measure it? How do we track it? On monthly basis, maybe on quarterly basis, we should be able to tell. Okay, so you will find that in the last couple of years, the formal sector of the economy hasn't employed labor that much. We've seen the informal sector absorbing quite a lot of people exiting from the tertiary institutions. That tells you that there is a real need to formalize the informal sector, okay, and make sure that they also pay their taxes and then enhance the revenue envelope. Then in that context, the government's institutional renewal efforts, the digital address system, and then all of that should help to some extent.
All right.
To bring some formality in that sector. There is still a lot that has to be done for us to get to where we think that we'll be quite okay to some extent.
The lot that we have to do will require a lot of expenditure. And you talked of government being moderate. And I'm wondering, how can the government be moderate in the midst of demand for inclusive growth, in the midst of tax reliefs and pursuance of capital-intensive programs? Already workers are crying that they need more pay. It means that government will need to spend more. How can the government be moderate?
Yes, I'm saying that government will have to be moderate with their promises.
Oh, okay.
What and what they can do and they hope to do is very, very important.
All right.
And that is important in managing the expectations of Ghanaians. Okay, it's very, very important. I think that because, you see, that is what we have done. If you look at it from 2014 and you look at statement of government all the way to 2017, it's been quite too optimistic, and they end up disappointing Ghanaians by not being able to fulfill those promises. I think that realistically, but the beauty of this also is that probably the first 10 months has been trying to understand the economy and then how the economy has responded to the various policy prescriptions and the overall government strategy. My understanding is that the 2018 budget should be more realistic.
Okay.
And the reason it should be more realistic is that government has been in power now for a while. They've understood the mechanisms in the economy, unlike when they were in opposition. And that should inform the kind of target they will set, revenue target, expenditure target, and all of that. And also, because our revenue envelope remains dwarfed, and yet we have rising expenditure and all of that, government would then have to be innovative in courting the private sector to complement public investment in addressing the infrastructure deficit that we have,
right,
in order to ease the restrictions on the growth drivers of the economy.
All right. Prof, I want to thank you very much for your time on our show tonight. We are very, very grateful.
Thank you very much. God bless.
Professor Godfred Bokwin is the head of the Department of Finance, University of Ghana Business School. It's Behind the News. You are live on Radio Ghana. Also on the line is the Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA, and he's also the chairman of the Spare Parts Dealers Association, Joseph Paddy. Good evening and welcome to the program.
Good evening, sir.
Your members,
thank you for your listeners.
Right. Your members were excited when government gave you some tax reliefs in the 2017 budget. But we're hearing from drivers that spare parts prices have not been reduced. What could be the problem?
Yes, thank you once again to your cherished listeners. Exactly so. You know, the excitement that came as an announcement of the 10% exemption, you know, you have to know that it was a total exemption. You know, cumulatively, if you are clearing your stuff from the port, it's about 50%. And then we're giving a tax holiday of about 10 and 1, that is making about 11% out of the 50% cumulatively. So the 39% is still there for us to pay. Yes, we were excited when that announcement was made. But one thing that the windfall that we got from that excitement, you know, with the instability of the city against the dollar, also affected us negatively in terms of doing business. Because we import with foreign exchange, we clear our goods with the foreign exchange, you know, duty is calculated for you in a dollar term. So we also are mindful of that. But because we were not able to stabilize the city whatever windfall we got for that exemption was swallowed by this instability of the cedi against the dollar. So that was the challenge we were facing at that time.
So what do you expect in 2018?
2018, what we're expecting that will reflect in the budget is that looking at what are the measures government has put in place to stabilize the cedi against the dollar. The cedi is depreciating, is falling against the dollar. As I'm talking to you today, I'm not too sure of the rate, but it's about 4.4 to the dollar. And it's not healthy. And then when it happens that way, as a businessman, you can't do projection because you can clear your goods today maybe with a 2,000 equivalent Ghana cedis, and the next week you go, the dollar goes up, you clear the same quantity of goods, the same container, maybe about 2,500. So when it happens that way, as a businessman, you can't really do projection. So what we want to see in this 2018 budget is what is government going to do to stabilize the cedi? And then two, we also want to see what are the fiscal policy or monetary policy going to put in place that will make interest rates or a bank rate comes down. You know, the commercial rates are high. There's nothing to write home about. So what business will you do in Ghana that you go for a rate of about 33%? You are not. You can't compete with your partners, your foreign partners, where they stand at a rate of 3% and the highest, even in some of these West African countries, you can get some as low as 15%. And you are getting at 30%, 35%. You can't compete on the market. And when even you go for procurement or tender, and in the first instance, you are at a disadvantage. So it's a challenge to businesses. And a businessman in Ghana is difficult to do projection. And like I was listening to Professor, you know, our economy is driven by the private sector, but more so is driven by the informal sector. And the informal sector is growing the economy now. So any of the informal sector, normally we are not too much into manufacturing. All that we do is importation, which every country does anyway. But if the cedi is falling against the dollar, it's difficult for you to do. We pray that one of the measures government can put in place that is bring a relief to industry. So that when industry is relieved, we do the distribution. We will not even travel outside the country. But now what we see these days is that even people who are in industry are also moving into import and export because the industry is not too favorable. The factors in industry are not too favorable. So people find it difficult to go into industry, to go into manufacturing, because you talk about utility, very high. So we are not competitive. Even when you produce here, you manufacture here, your price goes up. It's almost about 3 times the price of the import.
All right.
So it's a challenge that we think government should do something about it. How to stabilize the cedi for us.
All right.
And also, how to make sure interest rate comes down so that we can go to the banks and borrow at a lower rate and we can do good business. So government can maximize revenue. When we grow, government grows. When
All right.
we grow, revenue grows. Yeah.
We want to thank you very much for your time on our show. Very grateful, sir.
Thank you very much.
Joseph Paddy is the Public Relations Officer of the Ghana Union of Traders Association, GUTA. He is also the Chairman of the Spare Parts Dealers Association of Ghana. We have also joined on the line by a tomato seller at Tudu Market here in the national capital, Salome Sasa Mate. Good evening and welcome to Behind the News.
Good evening.
Well, I understand you want to speak tree, but 2017, Ejuma ko ne sayin?
Market Ejuma ni.
I didn't hear.
Yeah, because the guy can't even come back home better than my. Never knew there turning for so big. The only baby second one to crap with his boy. And to much watching a more ready budget. The more class for another way to run and see, hey, and see, and I didn't hear by now, but to a battle. And say, but so I am a market and none of the food card I told them I am a bad thing.
Now, market, Momo Fee said, dear Intina, Nipan, Twa, dear ABC, money a man of board, dear Dudo, Intina, a man for Antono.
Oh, no money boy, Neddy. Yeah, too, sad, and then into Mantos, Melconin, Yadwanian commander, a one in season. A bino, a one in season, a baby tree. Mount, she said, and toss me, dear, a bino.
Now, then,
it is said, Jenny Nintosin, Ufa Council,